Go ahead and find your seats, and I'm going to start this time off with prayer. I'm really thankful for Pastor Evangeline for doing that and leading our time of communion. We've been talking about diversity lately. Part of this message is going to be about diversity, and part of that equation is empowering women in ministry, and I'm really grateful to have that opportunity to do that for her, but just also just in general, and I think this is a blessing for our church. So let's pray together. So Father, we just thank you for this opportunity this morning to be together as a church family, and we pray that you would speak to us, and it will only be you, Holy Spirit, that's speaking. So Lord, we just come before you, we just pray that you would eliminate, in Jesus' name, any distractions, things that could distract us from Jesus, and we just pray that your blessing would be upon this time. Bring your encouragement and your strength upon your people this morning. Let your love fill our hearts as we've been singing about and praying about so far this morning too. And so we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to be preaching a message entitled Colorful Worship. All right, so turn in your Bibles to Revelation 7, 9 through 17. And I say turn in your Bibles there every week, but especially this week because I'm only going to put select portions of that passage up on the screen. So if you have it open in front of you, that'd be good. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. And that's the passage that we're going to be on this morning. As an opener, I would like to use as an example my ethnic makeup to kind of illustrate something and draw out in this passage something that this passage talks about. So growing up, I was told that I was Chinese. And I had no reason to doubt that. And so I accepted that along the way. But in recent years, I just had this nagging inkling that maybe there was more to my ethnic makeup than just that, simply. And so I ended up taking a DNA test, and I found out that I am 89% East Asian, so presumably 89% Chinese, but I also found out that I'm 11% Polynesian. And so when I found that out, that put things Polynesian very much on my radar. All right, so let me give you a silly example. I give you this silly example, but I think it's very telling. Just about how you find out a different ethnic makeup, it just becomes more on your radar. So my kids like to go to Chick-fil-A. And so when we go to Chick-fil-A, I'm the type of guy in general, it's like tried and true what I get at a certain restaurant, I just get it every single time. Right? So walk up to the counter, and normally, they ask you what kind of sauce you want, and I'll tell them every time I want Chick-fil-A sauce. But after I found this out a couple months ago, I walk up to the counter, and I notice that there's Polynesian sauce. So I asked for the Polynesian sauce. We sit down and we're eating. And Evangeline's like, man, this doesn't taste very good. And I'm like, this tastes great. Probably because it's just on my radar, things Polynesian. And I begin to tune into that. Now, when we read this passage, Jesus is talking about our identity as Christians. He's actually talking about our identity in heaven. And he wants to put on our radar more about multi-ethnicity, about other ethnicities. So tune in this passage. When it begins to talk about other ethnicities, what is Jesus calling us to tune into? Okay, so Revelation 7, 9 through 17. We're going to start in verse 9. We're going to read verse 9 and 10 to start off with. So just a little bit of background. A little bit of background is that John, the Apostle John, is being given a tour of heaven by Jesus. And when Jesus begins to give him this tour of heaven, I mean, it is spectacular. It is beautiful. It is a throne room of God. It is the four living creatures. This is the 24 elders. It's spectacular in every single facet. And we get to verse 9, Revelation 7, verse 9, and Jesus is giving John a glimpse of a multitude of multi-ethnic worship in heaven. Let's see how it's described. Revelation 7, 9, and 10. Can we read it out loud together as Jesus is giving John this tour? Let's read it. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So this is a spectacular display. I mean, it's a multitude of believers that are gathered together. No one can count it. It's from every nation, tribe, people, language. It is, if I can put it this way, as the title of the message, it is colorful worship. It is multi-ethnic worship on an epic scale a multitude of believers. This scene, when John saw this scene, it was overwhelming to him. When the angels in heaven saw this scene, it was overwhelming to them. When Jesus himself, we'll see later in this passage, saw this scene of worship, of a multi-ethnic multitude of worship to him before the throne, it was overwhelming to Jesus. To illustrate, I want to show you about a minute and a half clip of some colorblind people. And they're seeing color for the very first time. And you're going to see some of their overwhelmed responses. And I want to parallel that to the response that John began to have, that the angels began to have, that Jesus began to have. All right, so we're going to take a look at this video. And just a quick disclaimer, one guy, he does use God's name in vain in this video. Of course, we don't support that. But I left it in there just so that you could see his raw emotion. You could see how overwhelmed he is when he sees color for the first time. All right, let's take a look at this minute and a half video.
Yay!
It's kind of, like, actually mind-blowing. This purple.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Believe it!
I can't believe it. Look at the table, man. Like, there's so many colors in it. Oh my God, it's so real.
It is real, it is real.
Now you can dress
I can't,
yourself.
Look at the cow, man. This is spectacular.
Close your eyes and then open them. Look at the towel and Dad. What do you see? Tell us.
What do you think, Jim?
How handsome am I?
They're both colorblind. Jimmy, tell us what you see.
Piece of green. Red roses, too.
What's your own version?
So bright.
It is bright.
So check it out. They said if you wear them for a while,
it's so different.
It'll train your brain to where maybe you see a color all the time.
John, when he saw this, this display in heaven, he was overwhelmed. The angels were overwhelmed. And Jesus himself, who was sitting on the throne, was overwhelmed when he saw this multitude of colorful worship. I think it's important for us to capture how overwhelmed they were and what this began to shift in heaven. What this began to shift in Jesus' heart when he saw in heaven in perfection all racism ended and just a multitude gathered. To focus on Jesus and not all that other stuff that we see every single day in our society and even in our neighborhoods. So let's take a look first at the response of the angels. Verse 11 and 12, this is the response of the angels when they saw this display of multi-ethnic worship in heaven. Can we read this out loud together? All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The angels were overwhelmed to the point that they fell onto their faces before the throne, before Jesus. And they began to worship Jesus in a perpetual worship that went into eternity. And they began to bring this proclamation of praise to Jesus. Can I put it like this? When we begin to embrace multi-ethnic worship, when we begin to bring heaven onto this earth, when we begin to pray that heaven will come to this earth, when we begin to take action as a church or as individuals to bring heaven to earth, to begin to resemble how it is and one day will be in heaven, that there's a multiplication of worship, that there's a multiplication of glory that's given to Jesus when we begin to do that, when we begin to pray and when we begin to take action, when we begin to put action to our talk and begin to put action to the things that Jesus calls us to in this area, it begins to shift things in the heavenlies. And specifically that Jesus receives more glory. So we see so far that the angels were shifted into worship, and they began to initiate this kind of perpetual worship into eternity, and they were greatly affected and overwhelmed when they began to see this multi-ethnic, colorful worship displayed in heaven. But then what about Jesus? What was Jesus' response when he began to see this multi-ethnic display? He's sitting on the throne. He's seeing this multitude that's gathered together. He's seeing the angels begin to worship in perpetual motion of worship to him. And what is Jesus' response? Verse 15 and 17. Revelation 7, 15 and 17. This is the response of Jesus. Let's read it out loud together. "And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." We're seeing here when Jesus begins to see this multi-ethnic multitude worshiping him, that he begins to release his ministry. Multifaceted ministry, but it was a ministry of healing. Can we just zero in on that very last line? It says, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." As an Asian American, growing up where I grew up in New Jersey, there was not a lot of other Asian Americans. So I experienced, I would say, lots of racism. Lots of things that were extremely hurtful. Things that brought tears to my eyes, honestly. Things that if I shared with you this morning would likely bring tears to your eyes. There are people in this room, I know especially the demographic that we have gathered here this morning, that there have been things in our past that were extremely hurtful, that brought tears to our eyes, that this morning could bring tears to our eyes even this morning. And Jesus was saying, when this display began to happen, when everything came into perfection as he desired, and he created in his created order, and there was that kind of worship in heaven, a multitude of multi-ethnic worship, where everything came into place as was according to his heart, that there was a ministry of healing that came in such overwhelming way that it says that every single tear was wiped away. When we begin to bring heaven onto this earth, when we begin to take steps towards representing God's heart of multi-ethnic worship and crossing ethnic lines to begin to worship with other believers of other ethnicities, it shifts things in the heavenlies and brings greater glory to God as the angels begin to worship. But it also moves God's heart to begin to release that kind of healing that only he can heal. That as it's saying here in this last line, he's saying that it would be healing, that every tear would be wiped away. Now you might say to this, well, listen, Dennis, but this is an image of heaven. This is future. Revelation is future. And I would say I would agree with that. And yet our calling as Christians, right, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us to pray that let his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us, Jesus told us, that we are not of this world. He told us that we are a kingdom people. We are a people that have a calling in our lives to bring some pieces of heaven onto this earth. He calls us to be his ambassadors. That in the capabilities and the giftings and the influences that we have, that we can shift things on earth by crossing some multi-ethnic lines and represent what he once represented in heaven, that his healing would be released. I want to tell you why that this week, for some of those of you who were here last week, know that this is my second week preaching about this particular topic about multi-ethnicity, and I want to tell you why I feel like this is a timely and honestly urgent message that our church needs to hear. Many of you know kind of the story of the last several months of our church and just being embraced in more by their Vineyard movement. That's our denomination. And they approached us and they said, hey, we're not just about talk, but we're about action. We need to be a more diverse movement. Many of you know that the Vineyard Movement started in the 1970s, really with the Jesus movement, the hippie culture. And so it's been a predominantly white movement through these years. And they said, we can't be a predominantly white movement anymore. That doesn't reflect what's happening in Southern California. It doesn't even reflect what's happening in the United States. It definitely doesn't reflect what's happening in this world. And they began to approach us and said, listen, we need you to be not just be a part of this, but we need you to begin to lead in this. And so many of you know they appointed us as the area church, overseeing about 10 Vineyard churches in the East Los Angeles area. They also invited us at a recent national conference. About 4,000 pastors gathered together, and they asked us to lead a panel discussion to initiate this conversation as a predominantly Asian American church. And they began to include us into this in this way and began to really provide a platform for us to really lead and to be really advance this, and them saying, we're not just about talk. We really need, just like Revelation 7, we really need to be this representation on earth as it is in heaven. And so when they gave us this platform, we had the panel discussion at the recent national conference. There was a Hispanic pastor, Vineyard pastor, named Ruben Quintero. And he was at this panel discussion, and he raised a question at the panel discussion. Here was his question. He said, we, and he was representing the Hispanics that were with him. And by the way, he's not just a Vineyard pastor, but he oversees all the La Viñas, the Spanish-speaking Vineyard churches in Southern California. He holds a regional role, a national role in the Vineyard. And so here was his question. He said, we, his group, his Mexican group, his Hispanic friends and people from his church, he said, we love to eat Asian food. My question to you as a panel, and we were mostly Asian Americans represented on the panel, he said, but do you love to eat Mexican food? And so this was sort of his humorous way, and it was a humorous moment in that panel discussion, but he was asking a much deeper question. He was saying, listen, we, Hispanics, want to let you know that we embrace you, Asian Americans, the Asian culture, but I have this very sincere, deep question. Do you, Asian American, predominantly Asian American church, do you embrace us, Hispanics? We gave him some answers during the panel discussion, but that question just really sat with me for many days to come, weeks to come. To this point right now, we're about 3 weeks out of that conference. And I really had to wrestle with that. I had to wrestle with that personally. I had to wrestle with that as a representative of our church. And I had to wrestle with that as a representative of Asian American ministry in general, which increasingly the Vineyard is seeing us as the Asian American representatives of the Vineyard. And I really felt that I needed to take action. That just like the representation in Revelation 7, that we had an opportunity, that I have an opportunity to take action on this. And so I invited Ruben and his family to come next weekend. I asked him to come to spend time with me and my family and our staff next Saturday, to just hang out with us and be with us. I invite him to come here and preach next Sunday. And I believe that it's going to be a prophetic moment for our church. I believe even that it's going to be a prophetic moment for our whole movement of 650 churches in the U.S., thousands of churches across the world. I believe that as an Asian, predominantly Asian American church, that as we take this step to bridge between Hispanic culture, the Hispanic Vineyard churches, I believe something would shift in heaven. And I want to invite you to be a part of that next weekend, as we invite Pastor Ruben and his family, that we would embrace him in, that we would at a heart level say that we are family with him, and that we would be the representation of Revelation 7 of the multi-ethnic worship that's in heaven. So certainly there's an application for us as a church, corporately for us, but I believe that there's also a personal application for each one of us who's sitting here. And I would say this, the personal application, I think, is harder. And I think the personal application is actually more important. Because, you know, racism, would you agree, it's personal. Like I said, I grew up in an environment where there was a lot of racism. And this morning, I don't think it's the time or appropriate for me to share some of the things that happened, but I think a lot of you relate. That there's things that happen and are said, there's expressions that are done that are extremely hurtful. And don't represent what's happening in heaven in God's heart. And I feel like this morning that there is healing here for that. I feel like if you're here this morning and there is a sting of racism, maybe even from this past week, that Jesus desires to heal that. I'm reminded of Isaiah 53, verse 5. And it says, by his wounds, we are healed. You know who stings the most when those racist comments are made? Is the heart of Jesus. Jesus said that it's Revelation 7. It's that picture. That's his heart. So when we are hurting out of the racism that happens in this world and the ugliness that surrounds us, especially in our generation, he says, by his wounds we are healed. That we would bring it before him and invite him to do what he does. You know, we see the healing released in heaven as a result of the multi-ethnic worship, but we're living here on earth. And Jesus a lot of times needs to heal first before we would begin to say, yeah, let's embrace multi-ethnic worship. Let's invite a multitude of multi-ethnicities into our congregation and begin to worship together. Before that happens, for a lot of us, it might even be insensitive to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, because we ourselves need to be healed first. But I want to point out also that racism goes both directions, right? For some of us this morning, there might be some conviction about some racist statements that we ourselves have made, about some racist expressions that we have made, some racist jokes that we have made. And I feel like that this morning God reminds me about Ezekiel 11. When the prophet Ezekiel was prophesying to God's people, the nation of Israel, he said, I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. And for some of us this morning, I think it's about a heart transplant. It's about that we know that there's some things that, some feelings that we hold or some animosity that we have. And that we as Christians would say, well, I'm not really okay with that. I know it's there and I'm not okay with it. I believe that God would initiate this morning a heart transplant. Just like God spoke many, many years ago to his people, I believe that God speaks to us, that he would give us a new heart, a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. And I believe that healing is here for us this morning. Let's come before the Lord and respond to him in prayer on this. And I'd invite our worship team, if you can come forward at this time. Prayer team, if you can come forward at this time too. I say to us every week to keep your eyes closed and heads bowed, especially this week. Can we make this a very private moment? Because I'm going to ask people to respond to his word. And these are some private, sensitive matters. So all eyes closed, heads bowed. Give everyone an opportunity to have a private moment to respond to God. God's love, God's healing, God's ministry is here this morning. By his wounds, we are healed. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Give everyone a private moment right now. Would you put your hand all the way up and then down? If the sting of racism has been real for you, and there's been some pain, maybe even from this week, and you're just inviting God's love. The Bible says God's love covers a multitude of sins. And that you wouldn't just invite God's love to heal your heart, to love on you the way that only he can. Just hand all the way up and then down. Keep your eyes closed. All the way up and then down. Father, release your healing this morning. Release your love in a greater measure. Heal our hearts. We want to respond to you. We will be the people that you call us to be. We will be part of that multi-ethnic multitude that gathers together in heaven to worship you. But Lord, we're here on this earth asking for heaven to come to earth, asking for heaven to invade earth, invade this sanctuary, and release your love deep into our lives and our hearts in Jesus. Just keep your eyes closed, because I have one more thing. Just give everyone a private moment, especially this one. Give everyone a private moment, please. Are you here and you recognize in your life that you may have some of your own racist tendencies? made some racist remarks, made some racist jokes that you know doesn't represent God's heart. But you know it's there. You would say, God, give me a new heart. Give me your heart for your people. Hand all the way up and then down, that's you. Just praying for God's love. I just feel like God said, thanks for being honest. Thanks for being real. That has got to be the first step. So, Father, release your healing. Release your new heart. Ezekiel 11, you will give us a new heart. You will give us a heart of flesh or a heart of stone. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that this morning. In your house, and in your presence. Fill us with your love. Father, help us to love like you do. Lord, I know that you have a great calling for this church that's much greater than what we can see in the natural. It's a calling that comes parallel to Revelation 7, that we are part of this multitude, and we're part of leading a multitude of multi-ethnic worship, especially in the Vineyard, but even in the broader church. I say yes to that. I say yes to your heart. I say yes to how you're calling us, and I say yes to the portions that might be uncomfortable in the coming days. And we might get it wrong along the way, but we're here just to say, Lord, yes to your invitation to truly be a kingdom people. And to see heaven come to this earth. See heaven come to Walnut. See heaven come amongst the Asian American church and the Hispanic church. Yes, yes to what you are doing. So this morning as we close, I just feel like God wants to fill us with his love, and I just felt like there's a song that many of you are familiar with from Bethel recently, For the One, that it just be his love that fills us so that we can love the way that he does, the people that surround us. So let's all stand together. If you can, just put out your hands before you. So stand up and just put your hands before you if you're comfortable. And I just feel like God's going to fill us with his love as we respond and sing this last song. By the way, our prayer team will be up here. Pray for any and all needs, whether it relates to this message or other things. I just feel like it's about God's love. I felt like that was sort of a theme of just today and our time together. So if you would just put your hands out in front of you and receive God's love. So Father, we just sing this song as our prayer. Release your love upon us. Let us love like you do. And all of this is for our worship unto you.